This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Most of us grew up being told sunscreen is a non-negotiable in Australia, and for some good reasons. But this year, sunscreen has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Choice Australia testing found a number of products didn't live up to their claims. So how worried should we be, and what should we actually be using right now? Joining us is Dr. Katie Lee, postdoctoral researcher at the Dermatology Research Centre at the University of Queensland, to help make sense of it all. Katie, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thank you for having me on.
We've seen these reports from Choice about some sunscreens not meeting their SPF claims. What should people understand about all that?
It was quite startling for us because Australian sunscreens have a pretty good reputation. But it looks like what's happened is that there's been one supplier has supplied a base formulation that didn't live up to its billing, and some of the testing facilities that sunscreen manufacturers outsource their SPF tests to were also not doing things quite the way they should have been. So some of this stuff slipped through the cracks.
So if a sunscreen didn't quite hit the SPF on the label or whatever claims it was making, does it still offer the protection?
It does. We did a randomised controlled trial back in the 90s with SPF 15 sunscreen, and that found that if you were wearing it every day, one of the major skin cancer types, squamous cell carcinomas, were reduced by 40% after 4 years of the study. So it's still worth using sunscreen, even if it doesn't actually come up to quite the SPF that we expect it to.
All right. And if people have already got sunscreen at home, is it okay for them to keep on using what they've got until then they can sort of go get a new one?
Keep using it until you can grab something new. But you can also hop on the Therapeutic Goods Administration website.
All right.
They have a list of ones that they're recommending people replace.
And what are some of the simple things? I mean, okay, I'm out there looking at trying to buy some sunscreen. What are the simple things people should look out for on the label to show that sunscreen is approved and sold properly in Australia?
The main thing is it will have a TGA approval mark. That's A-U-S-T-L and then a number. That means it has been registered with the TGA, and the manufacturers have had to supply evidence from usually external testing companies that it has been looked at for their SPF.
So look out for those little letters, as you mentioned, on the packet, and then obviously it's sort of qualified, so to speak, to sort of be there on that shelf to do what it says on the label.
Mm-hmm.
There's been discussion about certain ingredients. Do people need to be concerned or change what they use because of those ingredients?
Not necessarily. So the TGA does regular reviews of actually most of medications that are sold in Australia to keep up with new research. And with some of the sunscreen ingredients, homosalate and oxybenzone, more recent research has found that in very high doses in animals, they can start to cause some problems. So the doses you should get from wearing sunscreen every day in Australian sunscreens shouldn't be anywhere near enough to cause that problem. But we do try and regulate that really strictly. So we want there to be less than 1% of the dose that would cause a problem in an animal to be absorbed into a human with normal sunscreen use. Because of that, they've decided that going forward, they will probably have less homosalate or oxybenzone in sunscreens.
Nice.
So you don't actually need to toss out the ones you have.
Yep.
It's not being banned or anything, but if it worries you, then have a look at ingredient lists and choose one without them.
We're chatting with Dr. Katie Lee from the University of Queensland about sunscreen safety, SPF claims, and how to protect your skin properly this summer after a confusing year of recalls and reviews. If someone wants a safe, reliable sunscreen, what should they be choosing right now? Obviously, look out for those letters that you mentioned on the package, and then make sure that, obviously, it sort of does to their skin what they want it to do, SPF coverage and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the best thing to do?
You really want to look for... Go on, sorry.
No, as I'd say, that's... Because I know the other thing that people have often asked me is higher price a sign of better protection, or can affordable sunscreens do the job just as well? I mean, this price point, the main drive of the sort of say, okay, that one's achieved a status, but I'm guessing anything that's on the shelf has obviously had to go through an approval process to be there.
Mm.
So,
yeah, so cheaper ones aren't any worse than the expensive ones. What you do tend to get with the more expensive ones is often different feelings, like often they're more dry touch or they have a different smell, things like that. So often people use a more expensive sunscreen for their face because their face is a bit more sensitive. But then whatever the big pump pack from, you know, Banana Boat or Cancer Council or whatever, those are just fine for the rest of your body and your face if you feel like you can tolerate the feeling.
When it comes to actually using sunscreen, what have you seen are the common mistakes people do when they use it?
The main one is that we don't apply enough. You actually need about a teaspoon for your face and neck, and then for each arm and leg, another teaspoon, which is quite a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, a teaspoon may not seem a lot, but it is. So, so use a measure of judgment is a teaspoon to cover each individual area that you mentioned.
Pretty much, yes. And if you were wearing, if you're not wearing a shirt as well, a teaspoon for your chest and abdomen, and a teaspoon for your back, which is one reason why wearing a rashie at the beach is a good idea, because that cuts down a lot of sunscreen you need to put on.
Now, the other things I know that we've been told and been drummed into us as kids is obviously be aware of if you're going to water, what that does to dilute the sunscreen. Also, keep an eye on the time, because obviously if you sort of put some at the beginning of the day but you're still out in the sunshine, let's say 9 hours later, you probably may want to think about reapplying, because obviously some of that's lost because through sweating or just, I don't know, efficacy. I'm guessing after a little while, maybe something isn't working as well at the start as it is at the end of the day if you've been out walking a lot and doing a lot of activity.
Yeah, if you've been getting very sweaty, or particularly if you've been swimming and then toweling off, you will need to reapply. We do say that for just your regular day-to-day, you're going to work in an office or you're going to hang out the laundry or whatever, putting sunscreen on first thing in the morning should be fine. But if you're going to be outdoors for, you know, a longer time that you're planning to be out, you probably want to start reapplying either every 2 hours or after you get out of the water.
Okay, so tips to look out for is look for those numbers, that those letters that you mentioned on each of the packages of the sunscreen. And if you're unsure, you can also, I'm guessing, go on the website. You mentioned that you can have a look at there if there's something, a product there that may be of concern that you may have in stock that you think, oh, I'm not sure if I want to use that or not. Any other tips or things that you feel you could share that we sort of should keep in mind?
I guess the main one we like to reinforce is that sunscreen's not a suit of armour. It's very important for us. But in Australia, especially in the summer, we're exposed to so much UV that you really want to use the other flip, flap, flop, seek, slide methods. Yep. So slip on a shirt and sun-covering clothing, slap on a hat, slap on the sunscreen on the bits you can't cover, seek shade, and slide on some sunnies to protect your eyes as well.
I love that, because that's another thing we do often forget is that how strong the sun is for your eyes, and that has an impact. Even though you're not getting sunburn, it's having a bit of an impact.
Mm.
And using it with what you said, like hats, clothing, and shade when it comes to sun protection.
Yeah. That does also cut down the amount of sunscreen you have to put on as well if price is becoming a problem.
No, I agree. Well, Katie, thanks for joining us this afternoon, helping for making clear the confusion and reminding us that sunscreen, when used properly, is still probably one of the best defences against skin cancer, along with wearing a hat, staying in the shade, and putting on a pair of sunnies too.
Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Katie Lee from the Dermatology Research Centre at the University of Queensland. The takeaway, as I just said, use it, use enough of it, reapply it, and don't forget hats, shade, and sunnies.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.